As we head into graduation season, we can expect to see the usual slew of headlines about students getting censored in their graduation speeches. So we thought it would be fun to bring you a special episode on the top three ways that you can get yourself canceled as a student at graduation. Plus, we talk about why it took some heroic frat brothers to take on George Soros-backed protesters, and how those heroes encouraged all of America. Welcome to Speak Up Virginia, equipping you to speak up on the life, family, and freedom issues that matter most to you. From the Family Foundation, I'm your host, Candy Cushman, with our president, Victoria Cobb. Well, welcome, everybody. You know, last week, we talked about the chaos on our college campuses and the horrific things we've seen coming out of that with the anti-Semitic speech and the vandalism and the violence that are just happening as an outgrowth of that. But we also shared some hope that in the midst of that, we're seeing these glimpses of redemptive action also breaking out on our campuses, whether it's revival at secular campuses or the worship service at Liberty University that was awesome. You know, these are the things that don't get covered by mainstream media. That's the other side of the story. So on that note, we wanted to do a follow-up with you and just share something else that happened after we taped last week. And if you haven't seen this yet, these college frat boys taking a brave stand for Old Glory, the United States flag, on their college campus while all these people are hurling water bottles at them and obscenities and everything else, you know, they stood there for, I think it was at least an hour, protecting the flag. And even if you haven't, even if you have seen it, I want you to watch it again, because it's just so encouraging. It gives you chills to watch them just breaking out in the Star Spangled Banner and seeing it with all their heart. So just to do a quick recap on everything that happened, at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, you had the typical anti-protesters that we're also used to now, except they took it a step further and actually took down the United States flag on the campus flagpole and hoisted up instead the Palestinian flag. Now, the fact that they feel free to take down our country's flag and put up the Palestinian flag, another country's flag, tells you something about their mindset, right, Victoria?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Honestly, I think it's helpful because it's a very visual representation of actually what is going on. And, you know, I've had a friend say, well, what all these different protests, not just the Palestinian ones, but think other movements in the, you know, other sort of left-wing movements. She's like, sometimes I don't see how they all connect. Well, they connect around taking down institutions, the family, the country. And I think that taking down the flag was so symbolic of really what it's all about. And I'm kind of glad that they're being honest about what it's about, right? Like, that actually kind of lays it all bare in front of us.
That is so well said. I mean, they are about tearing things down, tearing down our principles. And how could that be better visualized by them just trying to rip down the United States flag and then replacing it with something? Yeah. But what happened next, as I said, is so heartwarming. You have a bunch of fraternity boys leading the crowd in a USA chant. And I should also explain that this happened when, so after the flag came down and they put up the Palestinian flag, I will give credit to the school that the chancellor came out and he had police helping him and put the US flag back up. And so that's when these fraternity boys, as the US flag is going back up and the police are standing there protecting it, they start doing a USA chant and singing the Star Spangled Banner. And you can see in this clip that we're gonna play, they actually were able to drown out these screaming protesters with a passionate and heartfelt rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. So let's just watch that for a minute.
Save USA! 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 USA!
Yeah.
Okay, so of course the police eventually had to go away. They couldn't stand there forever. And that's when we saw some heroic actions from these frat boys. So, you know, because they saw the protesters started to go up and try to tear down the flag again and do the same thing all over again. They thought, that's not going to happen on our watch. So they went over there and formed their own circle and protected the flag. And not only that, when the flag got too low, they held it up from touching the ground. And they're doing this for an hour at least while people are throwing things at them. And as we said, just shouting horrible things at them. Then, you know, this went around the nation because people were so encouraged. And there was a GoFundMe that raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably even more at the point you hear this. It's probably gone far beyond that. But I just, you know, I want you to hear the perspective of one of the boys that did this. Let's just listen to him for a minute.
I love America. I love that side of America. It's like we all just kind of connected our brains and stood there protecting one thing. And we all were like, we all were looking at every direction. If stuff was flying in, we would say heads up. We would cover each other. We would look out for other people. We would swap. We had like for an hour, and our hands did hurt. Our arms did hurt. It was like a arm day for me that day. It was no gym happened that day afterwards. It was exhausting. You know, I remember we were all standing in there. And I think I made a joke. I was like, oh, I don't know if it's a joke, but I was like, I was like, I'd die for this flag. And everybody was like, yeah, if they get any closer, we're going to start throwing hands. Like, we're not going anywhere. I don't care. They're going to have to tear me off this flag, like by my dead body. You know?
Right. Victoria, wasn't it awesome just to see the pure joy? You can see it in his face that he was able to do something right, even though it was hard for the moment. He just had joy over that.
I honestly wonder, how many people get to be a part of something like that? And these younger people, I just think the sort of civics being lost and just you don't hear the national anthem at half the places my parents would have heard it, right? And I think there is that moment of like, oh, this is what it's about. Like this, there's something to take pride in and something to protect. And I think it draws out what's innate in us is sort of this, you know, I'm going to protect, you know, especially with the guys, you know, I think that's pretty powerful.
Well, what do you think it says that it does take frat boys to stand up to Soros-backed protesters? I don't know what that says where we are, you know, at this moment. I'm just glad
someone did, right? So, like, I'm just glad that someone did. But, yeah, it is kind of crazy. You'd like to think, you know, this is a tiny percentage of the campus doing this anti-Israel protest, and you'd like to think the rest of the campus is going to step in. And so I'm pleased to see them show some leadership I hope we start seeing more of this, that there's real reaction, not just like, oh, those people over there, you know, maybe I disagree with them. But I want to see some reaction that is on our side saying like, no, this is entirely wrong. Here's what's right.
Yeah, because when they stepped up and led, they were able to drown out in a positive way these screaming protesters. Yeah. So I do hope there will be copycat in that way. You know, the media just, it makes you feel like all these students are in lockstep. And I have to say, I was relieved that we still have students that know the words.
Well, this is that's kind of my point is that I worry about the younger generation. Like, I mean, there's not as many, Boy Scouts of America used to be such a thing. And of course, there's reasons why that's not a thing anymore. But I mean, kids learn the patriotism. When my kid goes and plays baseball and they go to their state championship thing, I was like stunned to actually hear them pledge the flag and like stand, because I haven't seen kids do that hardly anywhere anymore. And so, I think we need more of that everywhere.
Yeah. This was one of those great American moments that the protesters just couldn't plan for. Yeah. All of Soros and all his
planning. Yeah, their thing backfired big time to have this happen.
It's awesome because they're counting on having their optics of the destruction and the chaos of people being swayed by that. And then they came along and turned it all around with an optic that counteracted that. So it was awesome.
So powerful.
All right. Well, speaking of college, Victoria, you have a high school student that is about to go out on her own and leave the nest, and she probably has a graduation speech. She has a speech coming up, right?
Well, no. I mean, what they do at my kid's school isn't sort of traditional. Like most schools have this, the valedictorian gives the graduation speech. And at her school, what they do is they actually make every child write, every senior has to write a graduation speech. And then the day before graduation, they give an award, which is not academic, purely academic. And that person then takes the speech they had to write, and then they have to be the one to actually deliver it. So everybody has to write a graduation speech as if they're the student speaker. So I don't think she'll actually be the one giving it. I mean, that would be a small percentage chance. But yeah, she has to write it and put it together and figure out what your advice to your peers would be. I mean, that's a great exercise, I guess.
Well, in honor of students everywhere having to do these exercises, and whether you're, you know, you're a student president or valedictorian or whatever it is, or like your daughter, students, this is the time where they get to hear one another give speeches. And we thought, you know, since we're heading into the graduation season, that we'd do something kind of fun this week and maybe a little bit snarky. We're going to talk about the top three ways that you can get yourself censored by the woke crowd at your graduation as a student. And who knows, this might help your daughter learn some life lessons for being countercultural.
Yeah, I hope we're giving the young people. I think this will be much more pertinent to the kids that have to give speeches in public settings. So my kid goes to a Christian school. But I think it'll be great advice for those that are prepping for a more, we'll say, hostile environment to give a graduation speech.
Yeah, that we've just been talking about. This is going to help you prep for that. All right, well, to help us get in, you know, more into the spirit of things, I thought I'd just play this fun little montage of graduation moments over the years.
Unicorn. You are a unicorn. We are unicorns.
It's graduation season, and anybody who's anybody is giving a commencement speech.
You have to stick with it. You have to be persistent.
Every year, politicians, athletes, and celebrities flock to universities across the country to give their best advice. Some of it's inspirational.
You will make a difference in the world.
Some not so much.
Earth is really good at killing you.
And some of it is just plain weird.
Where'd you go to school, Patrick? Middlebury?
Bye! Yeah, you know what we eat.
Come on.
This isn't how your story ends, my friends. It's just a fork along the road.
Well, I think everybody's been to a graduation speech that they haven't necessarily loved in one way or the other. So I think this is fun. In fact, there's one in my husband's, his high school graduation. The speaker was legendary because something was like the kid's speaker or whatever. Yeah. And she like ended in this really dumb, like I just hear my mother-in-law telling the story going, I know. Some kind of really dumb song. And like it's like a family joke. And so everybody has hopefully not lived through like speeches that are sung, because that's probably terrible, like, on 100% of the time, you know, but
yeah, I wouldn't recommend singing your speech.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. And I will say
you will remember it though.
Oh yeah, apparently, because it's been a few years since my husband graduated high school. I won't say how many, but also I have to say I've been the keynote for commencements, and it does feel like a very daunting challenge to know that nobody's gonna remember what you said, but try to make it memorable anyway, right? Because everybody's thinking about, I don't know, 100,000 things. So it is, I mean, I do feel for every graduation keynote that they, you know.
One commencement speaker told me he looked down and all the students were on their phones. So it's even harder now.
Gosh, that would be terrible. I have not had that experience, but maybe it's kind of the type of places I'm doing commencement speeches. But
Well, the bottom line is, most of us don't remember the speeches from our graduation, and, you know, I don't remember mine at all, so you're not going to remember unless, you know, it's not going to be remembered
unless it's terrible, apparently.
You fall on the stage, or you manage to get your mic cut off and get censored, and that's what we're going to have
fun
with.
That would be memorable.
Yeah. So let's dive right in and talk about how you can create a memorable graduation moment and get yourself canceled. All right, are you ready for number one way?
Yes, number one.
All you have to do is say the name of Jesus, or just pray in Jesus' name. It's that easy.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, this isn't really even satire or hypothetical. This is happening. We have seen it happen year after year. We keep seeing these headlines pop up, and it's some version of a student being censored. They will either want to talk about their faith within the speech, or they want to pray, or they're going to actually dare to say Jesus' name in the end of their prayer. And so, you know, we'll just show some of these headlines that folks have seen over the years, I'm sure. And it you know, it's just every year. That's like a staple now.
This is reality. Yeah. This really works. I love this student that happened a while back about a student named Moriah in Pennsylvania, who was asked to make closing remarks because she was the student body president. But when she submitted her remarks, you know, she had in Jesus' name in there. She was wanting to pray in Jesus' name and was told that she couldn't do that. So I love what she did instead. She followed the policy, but she gave a statement instead of a prayer. And her statement ended with this quote, "I've always been a rule follower. When they said not to chew gum, I didn't chew gum. when they said not to use your cell phone, I didn't use my cell phone. But today, in the spirit of defying expectations, and perhaps for the last time at this podium, I say in the righteous name of Jesus Christ, amen. So that was her way of getting around that. I thought that was pretty awesome. We need more students like that that are going to challenge the system.
Well, and I think the good news is we are seeing more pushback from students like Mariah. And I think it's because the good news, too, is that there are more of these nonprofit legal groups that are stepping up and defending them, like First Liberty Institute, ADF, and the others. They, you know, these groups are helping these kids know that if they defy, because I will say there's a variety of just don't do that all the way to, oh, by the way, you're going to have a serious punishment. I mean, these kids need their degree, for example. They're about to get handed their degree, and the school does still hold that over them. And so I think it is important that we have these legal groups because it's not appropriate to censor them, and these kids don't want to find out the hard way. They don't have backing. So what's been good is we've had these groups that kind of step in, and they'll send a threat letter if the speech gets reviewed. And they, you know, so we have a number of those in. And it's just important for kids to understand what their free speech rights are. And so I think just having had these instances out and more kids understand that they are the students. They are not the administration. This is not the school putting religion out on, you know, display. This is a student in their own work, in their own thought, putting forward their faith. And so kids understanding that that is acceptable, I think, has come a long way.
Yeah, because the schools, the public schools that try to censor, they always say, well, it's establishment of church and state. You can't, as a speaker representing the state, and that's the thing, is that they're not representing the
state. The kid's not an employee of the school. Yeah. They can't treat it the same way. So, yeah, I think it's great that we're starting to see that flesh its way out now again. We're still going to see, I guarantee we'll still see instances this year.
So keep your eyes peeled for this year. I will say the student Mariah reminded me of my own experience because I was one of those high school students. Now, I grew up in Texas where, you know, football and prayer went together. It was a big
deal. Before Coach Kennedy.
They separated.
No, I'm kidding.
Before they separated. You know, back in the day, football and prayer in Texas were synonymous. And so, you know, we always had a prayer before the game, and they always selected a student to have the honor of leading the prayer. So I was asked to say the prayer before the football game. And I think I was just like 15 years old. I might have even been a freshman. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
So I submitted a prayer. I still have the little note card today.
Oh, how about that?
With that prayer on it.
Oh, you should have brought that for display.
I know, I should have brought it in. But it said, you know, in Jesus' name. So they came back to me and they said, you know, you're not going to be able to say Jesus. Well, I didn't know about any of these legal groups. I don't even know if they were really a thing back then.
Yeah, I mean, don't know. I don't know that there would have been the same kind of help for you then.
There was no Alliance Defending Freedom, none of that. So, but I just personally felt God telling me, you can't be ashamed of my name in public. Like, I felt a personal conviction. I knew I had to do this. So I go in, you know, the stadium box, and I'm kind of shaken. I say, in Jesus' name, I'm waiting for the police to literally, I thought the door was going to fly open and they were going to haul me out. And nothing happened.
Well, see, and this just shows the sensitivity of these are kids in these situations. These aren't adults. And it is scary to think you're going to get in trouble, especially typically the kids that are asked to give graduation speeches are asked to do things like prayers at football games are kind of the good kids. I hate to say it, but they're usually kids.
We're the rule followers.
They are the ones that aren't going to chew gum when you tell them not to chew gum. And so it is really, really important to me that we kind of lay out the rights and help these kids understand this before they get in that situation so they're not shaking, so they don't think the police are coming in to get them or whatever it might be. But it's, I mean, when adults make kids feel like that for their faith, guess what? There's a lot of kids that don't know any better are going to cower, and they're going to bring that experience with them, and then they're going to think, oh, I can't share my faith in this setting. I can't share my faith in this setting. And what do we have? We have religion pushed into a Sunday morning experience only. That's what that effectively does over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fact that nothing happened to me also tells you that they knew it was legal, after all.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
That
kind of reminds me of how the IRS, you know, like, scares all the churches into not preaching sermons. And then, you know, when you actually go to challenge it, they're not willing to, you know, anyway. Yeah. That's a whole other thing. But, yeah.
All right. Here's number two. To get censored, just talk about your beliefs with biblical sexuality. Talk about biological gender, And make sure to use biologically correct pronouns.
Yeah, that's definitely going to get you these days. I would say you don't have to look that far, though, to know that this is true, that this is a real problem, that people could really run into trouble. You know, I think first, of course, of Peter Vlaming, who is the French teacher that was in West Point, Virginia, that's now in the middle of this court case that's gone all the way up. And his was for non-use of pronouns. It wasn't even about using correct pronouns. He was trying to avoid the situation and be respectful of the student. But anyway.
He refused to let them compel him
correct,
to do
compelled
forced speech.
Speech.
Yeah, on transgender. Yeah.
Yeah, so imagine, you know, so and it's the same thing with, if you remember the case of Tanner Cross, where what he wanted to do, this was a PE teacher, someone who is in the role, and he basically didn't want to lie to kids to say that a boy can become a girl. He didn't want to be a part of something that he knows very well as a PE teacher. And so all that was at Loudoun County. So that case, you know, that's another example of being sort of told, like, you got to get on board with this.
He just spoke out against a policy that wasn't in
existence. Well, that's the thing. And then he goes to a school board thing and says, I don't want to be a part, I don't want to have to compel my speech. And yeah, then he loses his ability to even teach for a little while.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Fairfax County keeps trying to escalate the punishments for so-called misgendering, and they aren't clear about what that is. So we know kids are trying to not run afoul of this terrible policy. So, and they make it, you know, they've made it almost on par with like bringing a weapon to school or some of the other things that actually
ridiculous.
Are pretty serious. So anyway, so we know kids are facing this in the possibility of their graduation speech.
All right. Well, having said all that, what is your advice for students heading off into this brave new world? What would you advise them about remaining true to their biblical beliefs on sexuality and even having the courage to speak those things out loud?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these kids are going to head into a college classroom where they're going to experience this problem, right? They're going to have a professor and they're going to have to sort of, they're going to be expected to toe the line. And it's actually funny that you bring this up because I actually, when talking about controversial speeches, in my commencement address to students last time I did it, I actually kind of brought this up because these kids, that's the world that they're about to go into. And the advice that I gave them was, coming from a spiritual perspective, we have to remember that scripture, and I was talking to Christian kids, but, you know, scripture tells us that there are blind people in the world. They really don't understand that we are surrounded by people that don't have godly, they can't see the truth. So they're literally, they just are so confused on matters of gender. And what I was teaching them was this idea of not being led by the blind. So you can be respectful, but don't let the blind lead the blind. You know, that would be all, like,
don't become one of the
blind by letting, you need to look at that professor and know, even though they have authority in the classroom, or, you know, even though you're even in this high school graduation speech scenario where you're being, you know, like, you can't do that, even though they have authority over you, don't let them lead you. Don't let them change who you are, what you do, because that we know better. As believers, we know the truth. We know reality. We need to stand true to that. So
that is really good, because it's this balance of give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but at the same time following what it says in Romans about don't be conformed in your mind to this world.
Exactly.
That's what you're trying to help them.
Yeah. Navigate that. You know, I mean, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing for young people because all around them, they're still in positions where there are nonsensical adults all around them telling them, you know, whether it's in the school telling them what's in the graduation speech, or it's a celebrity, or it's a politician. They're all not people who understand the truth. And so we have to guard what we know to be true and not let those people lead us in a wrong way.
All right. Well, we are already at number 3, which was contributed to us by one of our youngest employees here. So she's got a pretty good feel for what's going on in the culture. And her top way to get censored in a graduation speech was to say, I want to be a mom. I mean, think about that. How sad is that? And while the censorship part might have been said tongue in cheek, I do think there is an actual reality that if you're a student and you feel like you're going to get up in front of the whole student body and say, my goal in life is to be a mom, that you're going to feel a certain amount of shame that's going to be put on you for that, or, you know, at the very least, be made to feel where you're really not, you know, getting up to the standard here. That's a lesser than choice. What are your thoughts, Victoria?
Yeah, I mean, I actually have a daughter that this is what she really wants. I mean, this is what she wants in life more than a career, if she could go to school and, you know, that's the hard part about that goal, right? Like you know, to be a mom, it starts with getting pregnant and goes before that. You got to be married and all these things that you don't know God's plan for your life. But really, if you asked her, what does she want? It's not a career. It's that. And I think it's really quite wonderful. And I hear that there is a little bit of a trend going on right now with more and more college girls actually feeling that and saying that, and maybe even high school. I don't know exactly the age group of the trend that I'm hearing about, but I think that's really fantastic. And I do think it's sad. It's interesting. I was thinking back to a quote, you know, Mother Teresa one time said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family, right? Like, that is one of the most important things done in the entire world, is how you raise children. And that children, I mean, that's, everything depends on what the next generation looks like. So actually, it's a very noble calling. And I do hope that we're in a place, and again, our whole society has been structured around feminism, and with that has to be career. Like, there's just all these misnotions of what feminism has to look like, right? Mm-hmm. And honestly, it comes a lot from the abortion industry. I put a lot of the blame at their feet, because they want to tell women, you can't have it all. You can't have children and also do other things.
Yeah. Or that, they're an impediment.
Or that the goal of being a mom isn't sufficient, that isn't enough. They really, because they need that, they need the idea that women can be, that they need to be childless to be part of. So that whole thing is permeating our culture, and it has influenced our young girls. So I hope they feel comfortable saying that. Now, I had to tell my daughter, you still have to go have a career until that happens, right? Like, you have to prepare to at least, you know, support yourself. But I think it's fantastic when people have that as their goal.
I mean, you've been a great model of that, being unabashed about loving being a mom of four kids and having a redemptive impact on the culture at the same time through what you're doing. So how would you speak to young women that they can embrace that they can have confidence in speaking about that goal? What, maybe if you wanted to throw out a few tips on that point.
I mean, I think I've been incredibly fortunate to work for an organization that is a family-oriented organization and knows that what I do here at the Family Foundation is always going to be secondary to my kids. They get it.
I can attest to that.
And it means I'm going to have a really messy schedule, and it means some real inconvenience to people around me. But they know if it comes down to it, I'm going home, right? Like, that's just the reality. And so I think we have so many choices, but I do think more of our society is getting that way. They're more accepting now of moms. So if you want also a career, I think they're more accepting of that your kids should be your priority. I think we have moved generally in a better direction with regards to employers, because there's more work at home and some things that have made that a little more doable. But again, I just want our girls to know, if they just want to be a mom, if that's, and you know, that used to be a thing, just like that's not enough. It's lesser than, if they only want to stay home, that is a huge job, that is an important job, and you can do that in such a powerful way. So I hope they feel comfortable saying it.
Yeah. You know, you talk about being power women.
Right.
Maybe those really are the most power women, because they're going to actually impact the next generation.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, as we wrap up here, do you have any last minute advice for the graduates heading out, especially maybe if you want to give some spiritual, you know, minded tips?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of uncertainty when you graduate, and that's one of the things I've talked about in my commencement addresses. There's a lot of unknown in front of them, and one of my commencement addresses was during May or June of COVID, when it first hit, and these kids had no idea what was in front of them, whether they were going to even have, you know. So I did a whole talk about this, but when there's uncertainty, right? What is certain? God is certain. And God being good is certain. And so really, our graduates, if they can focus in on their relationship with the Lord, that unknown future stuff, am I going to have a career? Am I going to be a mom? All of that pales, because you know you have a good God who cares for you as you walk that path. So I think that's fundamentally what our graduates actually need.
Yeah. Well, I've got great news for parents watching this, or if you know teens that are about to head out into the world, into the chaos, and you're looking for a way to prepare them to help strengthen their biblical mindset so that they know how that biblical mindset can actually have practical implementation into what they're doing in the world around them. We've got a great resource for you, and that is our Equip Worldview Academy. This is an awesome 8-week course. It's for high school juniors all the way up to college seniors. It gives them access to amazing speakers. They're going to be able to interact and have thought-provoking conversations with these speakers and their other colleagues in the class. It's got a great curriculum that's been well thought out on major questions that teens are asking in their life. And, you know, Victoria, I'll just let you, what else do you want to add on to that?
I would just say it's something we designed so the kids can do other things during the summer. So it's just one day a week. They can have their job and do all these other things, but you get that worldview in there. And I would say that for parents, there's in the Metro Richmond area, there's a parent course. So if parents are interested in kind of being able to have those conversations with their kids, we have something for them as well. Yeah. And so, again, registration needs to be soon because this starts right at the beginning of June. So, you know, if you're thinking about it, we'd love to have your kids. Yeah. I think it'd be fantastic. And you, if you want to come in too.
Welcome. So check it out.
Check out our website.
Yeah, familyfoundation.org/equip. That's familyfoundation.org/equip. Thanks again for joining us. Take heart. The next generation loves Jesus, loves our country, so we can leave today being encouraged and remember that we are stronger when we speak together. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.